Time Top 10 with Ryan and Ben.
The people too, mess around. They're doing the mess around. They're doing the mess around. Everybody doing the mess around. Everybody was juicy.
Hey, everybody.
And we're back.
And we're back. Ryan Blake is back. And welcome to an another episode of All Time Top
all the
10.
The cheering and the applause.
Oh, yeah. He's back.
Just so excited.
Welcome back to All Time Top 10 with Ryan and Ben.
Understandably so.
Oh, are you kidding me? Dude, everybody missed you.
I'm the guy.
All of our legions.
I'm the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
He's the guy who stirs the drink that makes the coffee go to the store. I don't know.
Makes the world go round.
This is All Time Top 10 with Ryan and Ben, everybody. And it truly is with Ryan and Ben this time because Ryan Blake is back.
Well, you did do a Ryan and Ben with another Ryan.
Yeah, but that guy sucks, man.
Oh, man. I can't believe you.
Kidding. Ryan Stockstead. Kidding.
But you know what? I'm really excited about this particular episode.
Yeah, this
which
is
number 19.
19.
The ultimate.
In Vietnam, it was 19. Sorry, that's a bad reference, yeah. Old reference. This is episode 19. Our topic today, top 10 piano songs. And Ryan Blake picked this one specifically because he not only is a piano fanatic.
I am a pianist.
He's a pianist. He has a 12. He's a 12-inch pianist. I don't know. That's terrible.
Man. No, but I actually found a video of myself playing piano when I was like 5. Playing Christmas tunes on our family piano, and I was like trying to sound them out.
You and the Ivories go that far back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then it wasn't long after that I started taking lessons and took them for, 12 years.
And he's good, folks.
I'm okay, but
he's good.
But I love the piano.
We really missed you in last week's episode because backing vocals.
Yeah.
Because that's another one of your fortes.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Did you listen to that episode?
I did.
Yeah? Not too bad?
Not too pretty bad.
Well, you had your say in there, too, with your little Sam Cooke in for you.
I did.
But, we're back. And this is exciting because this is Ryan's wheelhouse, as they say.
Yeah, and by the way, that piano instrumental track, that was Gene Harris.
Gene Harris.
And
started
things off. The late Gene Harris.
Oh,
he
man.
He passed away at the beginning of this millennium.
Ah, I thought you were going to say he passed away at the beginning of the show.
Was live. That was an album called Live at the Maybeck Recital Hall.
Ah, and what was that tune called?
It was, I don't even know. It was called Track One.
Track One? Yeah.
And but, it was a bunch of improvisation things that he was doing live.
Yeah, that was cool, man.
Yeah, he's a great player. I love finding those, and there's actually another one on my list of piano players of that type.
Okay.
That are just doing stuff right on their own, not with a band or anything, but just rocking on a piano because they're just so good, you know?
Nice.
So,
well, looking forward to hearing that.
However, my number 10.
Yeah, let's start off, man. You go.
I'm going to start off with Queen.
Yeah.
Because Freddie Mercury wrote some great things on piano, I tell you what.
He did. He was a good player, too.
And but one of my favorites of theirs, and I don't really hear it too often, is called Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
And, the guitar stuff is ridiculous in there. I mean, all kinds of overdubs. And
all
singing
the production,
Yeah, but it's a piano song, you know? And just as an homage to Freddie Mercury and his piano playing that he did throughout the career of Queen.
Yeah, good
this
pick.
Is my number 10. Good Old Fashioned Lover Boy by Queen.
Good pick.
Number 10.
Serenade and on your heart strings, be a Valentino, just me.
Timey stuff. Queen did a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I have that record. What's that one? Night at the Opera. Mm-hmm. And like, you could tell which songs Freddie Mercury wrote because half the ones that he wrote are just like that.
Yeah, man. And he
Don't Stop Me Now. And
he's absolutely one of a kind.
Yep.
That guy. You know, like his performance, his singing, his songwriting, absolutely one of a kind.
I know.
And they should not be going on tour without him.
Could not agree more. So he's totally missed. But
go ahead, man.
Good stuff.
Let's
That's
hear
my
your
number 10. My number 10, I have to pay tribute to I don't know if he's underrated, but he's understated piano player. Elvis Costello has one of the best bands ever, best backing bands. I'm talking about The Attractions.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to do that list one day, top 10 backing bands. You know, like the JBs would be on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Like the Heartbreakers.
Heartbreakers. Great. Yeah, great example.
The E Street Band.
They'll be on there as much as you don't want to hear them.
They wouldn't be on my list. That's for damn sure.
Well, I'll give you a break from Little Bruce for a while.
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen does have a great piano player in the E Street Band. I forget his name. But,
yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, one of the best backing bands ever is The Attractions. And Steve Naive is their piano player. Steve Nason, N-A-S-O-N, I don't know how you say it. He was given the nickname Steve Naive when he first joined Elvis's backing band. There was a guy in the band, Ian Drury, and they kind of made fun of him because he was kind of a young kid. And he asked, in all seriousness, asked the question, "What's a groupie?" and they all laughed at him and they're like, "Hey, Steve Naive," you know. So
it works.
Yeah. And Elvis and the Attractions put out a ton of records in their first like 5 or 6 years. In the first 5 years, they put out 6 albums. And I want to play something from I believe it's their fourth album or fifth album. It's called Trust, and it's from 1981. And this song, it's not really a flashy piano part, but the Attractions had such a cool, like, energy to them.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was driven by the piano. And this is, to me, this is a great example of it. This is a song called Strict Time from the album Trust. And you tell me if what he's doing is difficult. I can't really tell.
All right.
It seems like it's, I mean, it's got a lot of energy to it. So I don't know. You be the judge. This is Elvis Costello and the Attractions featuring Steve Naive. And my number 10, it's called Strict Time.
Number 10.
An unusual song.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I wonder, it's like the band just kind of was jamming on that bit and then
added some lyrics.
Yeah.
He's got a lot more like flashy parts that I could have showcased, like the song Oliver's Army. He just goes crazy. It's kind of like an ABBA thing.
Yeah,
diddling, diddling, you know,
like ABBA.
It sounds like, yeah, well, ABBA, okay. Another example, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know why that one just got a cool
groove.
Well,
I mean, it's
it.
Driven by the piano, so it's a piano song.
Exactly. That's my number 10. It's Elvis Costello and the Attractions, Strict Time. Ryan Blake, what's your number 9?
My number 9, this is the first of two songs performed by the same piano player in two different bands. Did that make sense?
Okay. Yeah.
And the piano player is Paul McCartney.
Okay. So there's going to be Beatles and there'll be Paul Wings or
yeah.
Paul Solo. Okay. I got you.
And this song, and for whatever reason, I was introduced to it by Ben Folds when he did his little thing on The Sound where he picks his whatever 10 songs and he had his own little show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he played this song, and I think I told you about it when I heard it, and it's called Let Him In.
Yeah, oh, I love this song.
And I heard the song. I couldn't believe I hadn't heard it before, and it's just such a perfect little song.
Yeah. And he had a bunch of those in the 70s.
It's just so simple, and and just groovy and catchy and just perfect. It's crazy how simple the song is, and it's one of those things that taught me a lot about songwriting, in the fact that you don't have to overcomplicate things. You just have a good hook, and it gets you.
And the piano part's not even crazy or anything.
No.
It's just holding it down, you know, holding down that groove.
And he's doing octaves with his left hand, staying in the same note the whole time.
Yeah.
And the bass is doing dunk, 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 dunk. You know, it's as simple as it can get, but it's just got a really groovy hook to it, you know? And it's from Wings at the Speed of Sound album, 1976.
I'm just going to ask you what
year
that was.
So this is Wings with their song, Let 'Em In.
Nice.
Let 'em in. Ooh, yeah.
Number 9.
Let 'em in.
Somebody ringing the bell. Someone knocking at the door. somebody ringing the bell. Do me a favor, open the door and let him in.
Dear Lord, I don't know why they always do, they did that at the end of that song where it like fades all the way out and then at the end it stuck, gets right in your face again for half a second. I don't get it, but that is Ryan Blake's number 9, Wings, featuring Paul McCartney on the understated piano, and the song is called Let 'Em In. We are back, although Ryan is still over at the store getting food for himself to eat, and I'm sitting here all by myself, but that's okay, we have to move on, the show must go on. We're gonna move on to my number 9 now, and I'm gonna go with little guy from the heyday of early rock and roll by the name of Jerry Lee Lewis, otherwise known as the killer Jerry Lee Lewis. And this guy, everyone knows, was crazy, crazy good on the piano. Just ridiculously good on the piano. And it's unfortunate that he ran into all that trouble with, you know, marrying his 13-year-old cousin and all that stuff. Because he put out some amazing material, but the fact that it was from 1957, 1958, all that meant that it just didn't sound all that great. It was a total bummer because if he had, you know, Ryan Blake just walked in, hey, oh, he's got a freaking chili dog. Welcome back. And he's back.
Oh, my gosh.
That's okay. We're talking about the killer, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
No, I just, I ran.
No problem. I was just saying, like, it's too bad that he didn't last very long, because I wish we had some better recordings of him. Mm. All of his Sun Records stuff from the 50s, it doesn't sound all that great. And he's just killing it on the piano, and it's kind of buried in the... There's, like, the mix isn't really even there. I don't know what's going on, but...
It's too bad that he was into little girls.
Yeah, his cousin. Not too cool, Jerry. Not too cool. But I'm going to play a song that is, I don't know how many people, sorry, I did the thing, didn't I? God damn it. This is called Big Legged Woman, and kind of a slower number of his, but the lyrics are pretty filthy. So enjoy that. Pay attention to those lyrics as well as the ridiculous piano part, because... you could tell he was headed for trouble. If you heard this song back in the day, you'd be like, damn, that guy's kind of a perv. But anyway, this is my number 9. This is Jerry Lee Lewis with Big Legged Woman. Check it out.
Number 9.
Big Legged Woman, keep your dresses down. You got something, baby, that'll make a bulldog a hug a hound. Big Legged Mama. I swear, honey, you got something up under there, and make me wanna lay you down. Little break now. She rolled her belly like she rolled her biscuit dough. She let it down so easy, did you got to have some more big leg, mama? Stop me now, mama.
You got something, baby. Make a fool go over a hound. Something I'm talking about. I bet my bottom dollar there ain't a cherry in this house. Big lady mama, keep your dresses down. Cause when I start drilling on you, baby, you're gonna lose your nightgown.
It's a hit. Did he say
Dirty Old Man?
Yeah. Bet your bottom dollar there ain't a cherry in this house. I don't know exactly what that means.
He's talking about fruit.
Okay.
Maybe
he was hungry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it wasn't cherry season.
Oh, that's what it was.
It was like
in the line about
January.
The line about she rolls in her bedding like she rolls her biscuit dough. Hmm. That's more. He's still hungry, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's very hungry.
You gotta
very hungry guy.
Gotta have some pastry to go with those cherries, oh, I guess. Boy. Yeah, that's Jerry Lee Lewis. That is the perv Jerry Lee Lewis with a song called "Big Legged Woman." That's my number 9 piano song. And Ryan Blake, it's your turn. What's your number 8?
My number 8 is it's a former songwriting partner of the former pick of mine. Does that make sense?
I think so.
And which would, of course, be...
You have a very incestual list. This is John Lennon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is from... I believe it's from Plastic Ono Band.
Uh-oh.
It's Isolation.
Oh, okay.
Is that from Plastic Ono Band?
Yeah, good song.
Tell me about that album, because I don't... What year is it from?
It's from 1970. Let me check my notes.
Oh...
No, you didn't steal this song from me. You did steal this song. 1970, yeah. There was two albums. One was called John Lennon, Plastic Ono Band. The other one was called Yoko Ono, Plastic Ono Band. And they both released albums simultaneously. And this was John's post-Primal Scream therapy record.
Man.
Like, yeah, he went into some crazy therapy and... it came out with this. It's super personal, super raw, emotional record.
Amazing stuff. And
yeah.
I first heard this album from Warren Hewitt.
Oh, yeah. I was there.
Yeah. That's the first time I'd ever heard this.
Have you heard the rest of the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went and got it right after I'd heard... Like, we played a few tracks, and I was like, man, this is really good. So this is my number 8.
It's heavy.
Isolation by John Lennon, with John Lennon playing piano.
Good pick.
Number 8.
People say we got it made. Don't they know we're so afraid? Isolation. Alone, everybody got to have a home. Isolation, just a boy and a little girl trying to change the whole wide world. Just a little town, everybody trying.
trying to pull us down. I don't expect you to understand after you've caused so much pain. But then again, you're not to blame. You're just a human. Afraid of the sun, isolation. The sun will never disappear, but the world may not have many years.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right to the point. That whole record is just like totally, there's no nuance to it. It's just raw emotions, you know.
Best kinds of songs.
Yeah.
Doesn't leave you guessing.
Exactly. John Lennon, good stuff from 1970. That's Ryan Blake's number eight. My number eight is also from the 70s. We're going to move up to 1973, though. And this is A Lad Insane. This is David Bowie.
Okay.
The song is called Aladdin Sane.
Oh.
Yeah. It's a very clever title for his sixth album and his the title track from that said album. This was his first album he released as like a bona fide rock star, because it's the one that followed up The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and The Spiders from Mars. And so this was like the first time he really could just do whatever he wanted. And he kind of upped the ante of the Ziggy Stardust character. He is dressed like Ziggy Stardust on the cover. And but he, about 2 months after this record came out, he officially retired the character of Ziggy Stardust. There is some amazing, amazing piano work on this record by an avant-garde jazz pianist named Mike Garson. And I was reading about him. He's kind of annoyed because the solo that he does on this song is so insane. Like, he's played on a million records. He's got his own solo material. He's been in bands over the years. And he says all anyone wants to talk about is this song. It's like, he's like, I have other stuff, guys. You know, I'm an accomplished pianist.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot to offer. And they're like, oh, tell us more about the solo in Aladdin Sane. It's so crazy. And it is. You'll hear it. He recorded this all in one take. And you'll see what I mean right now. This is my number eight. David Bowie featuring Mike Garson on the piano. This is Aladdin Sane.
Number eight.
Cries and virus or maybe how I'm waiting, patches of sad remains. Waits for a light insane.
Anyway, yeah. Does that make any musical sense at all?
It doesn't really entirely, because, I mean, he's just kind of...
That certainly does not make any musical sense. Or was really unnecessary at the time when your mic is hot.
Of course it is.
Please don't do that.
Okay. No, I wasn't going to do it again.
Yeah.
But now I'm in a very nice, comfortable spot to be able to explain this clearly.
Okay. You're a piano player. Explain that to me.
No, because he does a lot of really crazy runs and stuff, but then he ends on the correct note. So, I mean, I guess that's musical in a way, but...
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have a good understanding of the instrument to be able to do that.
Right. But, and you have to have the, like, the balls to just go for it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing behind it, the avant-garde musicians, is that it's just, it takes courage.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just whatever you feel, you play.
Yeah.
You know, you're not trying to play in any kind of rhythm or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just what you feel, and that you're reacting in the moment and just playing whatever you hear in your head, and it comes out of your fingers.
I have moments like that on bass, but nothing like that. Just crazy. So that's cool. That's my number eight, and that is David Bowie. Featuring Mike Garson. Aladdin Sane, the whole record, by the way, that whole album, he plays on every song, and he's just all over the place on a lot of it. So
I remember one time going in, when I was going to school in San Francisco, and I went into a music class, and I was in, it was like an auditorium class, and I went in early, and the guy, there was some kid in there who was using the piano in there, and he was an avant-garde piano player, and he was absolutely going nuts on this piano, like
kind of
nothing.
Like that, like,
because I'm classically trained, you know, and I don't know anything about that kind of stuff, but he was like reaching into the piano and playing stuff on the strings themselves, and like and just going crazy and totally 100% into it, you know. And
cool.
And there's a few of us in the auditorium like, what the heck is going on here, you know? I don't understand it, but. But I've seen some avant-garde performers, sax players and stuff, and jazz places. And you seeing it live is a different thing. But listening to it, you don't quite get the same feel from it as you do when you see it.
Yeah. Well, live, it's always different, I'm sure. You know, if he went on tour with the band, he would do that part differently every time. There's no question about that.
Right.
But
I mean, there's no way you can duplicate that. But that's the whole point of it.
Exactly. Anyway, let's move on. What's your number seven, Ryan Blake?
My number seven is from... This is from an album that I've played a couple songs from.
Okay.
Throughout our prior 18 shows.
Yes.
A couple of which I was not a part of.
Yeah, sadly.
But this is from the Frank Sinatra Live at the Sands album.
Yeah.
And this is called One for My Baby and Another One for the Road.
Another One for the Road. Nice.
And so this is Count Basie playing piano, and Sinatra's like giving sort of an intro to it, and he's like, this is what happens when it's like using all the old phrase and like your doll, and it's just really funny.
Something about a dame or something?
Yeah. And your broad flew the coop.
Hey.
Exactly.
Ring and ding ding. What are you going to do?
I got chucks like, never mind.
You don't have to go there.
So this is my number seven. This is One for My Baby. This is from 1966, if I remember right, because I played in a 1966 show.
I have to get this record from you.
And
I must.
Count Basie on piano, Frank Sinatra singing.
Nice.
It's not number seven.
This is the part in the program where we sing a drunk song. Drunk songs are usually done in small bars and bistros in the wee hours of the morning. Usually talked or sung by a fellow who's got problems. Like his broad flew to coop. With another guy and all the bread. So if you will, assume the position of a bartender, the way these guys behave. It's quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. Set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story I think you should know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. Make it one for my baby and another one for the road. I know the routine. Put another quarter in the machine. I feel kind of bad. Can't you make the music
easy and sad. I could tell you a lot, but it's not in a gentleman's code. Just make it one for my baby and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but buddy, I'm a kind of poet, and I got a lot of things I'd like to say. And if I'm gloomy, please listen to me till it's talked away. Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. Anyway, thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my band in your ear. But this torch that I found, it's gotta be drowned, or it's gonna explode. Make it one for my baby and another for the road. The lawn, it's damn long, it's so long.
Yeah.
You got to get that album from me, man. I'm telling you.
I must.
I mean, every song that I've played from that album, you're like, man, I got to get this album from you. And there's like 20-something songs on there.
Yeah. No, I must. I must.
You must increase your bust.
Yeah. Man, he has the best. He had the best songwriters.
Yeah.
Like, in the world. It wasn't even fair, you know? But, and also, I was just thinking at the end of that, that's a nice little ode to drunk driving, by the way. Mm. Billy Joel would be proud.
Yeah.
You know? But, isn't that sad? Billy Joel has that reputation now.
Wait, what does that have to do with drunk driving, that song?
Well, he wants one drink now and one more for the road.
Oh, okay.
And presumably he's had a few before that.
So, yeah, I suppose.
You know.
Yeah. Things were different back then.
Yeah.
Cars were bigger.
That's true. And then plus, back then, if a cop pulled him over and he was drunk, you know, oh, Mr. Sinatra, you know. Hey, let me escort you home, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably what they would do.
Don't shoot me. Don't shoot me, Frank.
Don't have your goons come get me. But, yeah, good stuff. Frank Sinatra.
Old red eyes.
Hi, zing. Nice one.
Oh, you didn't hear me.
This next song, he's dead, dude. Don't worry. This next song is a song that I was inspired to put on this list for several reasons. One, because it's a great song.
Hey, that's a good reason.
Two, it's a great band.
Wow, that's another good reason.
It's the band.
It's the band. Is this okay?
Three, it's a song that you always used to play at rehearsal, and we used to just bust into it. We were playing with the Minor Canon.
Is this Night They Drove Old Dixie Down?
This is.
I almost put this on my list, but I didn't.
Cool. Alternate.
I didn't even put it as an alternate. But
too obvious. Yeah.
Your pretzels were really good.
Too awesome is probably why.
Did you do the live one or did you do the?
I did the studio one. I don't have the live one.
Ah,
yeah. I don't know what the deal with that is, because the live one is better.
I agree.
It's got that trumpet going and stuff.
Yes, it does.
But
whatever. You can play the album version. The
crappy one. Richard Manuel on piano. The band is just such a great band.
The Richard Manuel.
Robbie Robertson, Garth Hudson, Rick Danko, And the other reason I wanted to play it is because of the late, great Lee Von Helm.
Of course.
Who
Lee Von!
That's a different piano song. We're not playing that one. Yeah, Lee Von Helm played, you know, the drummer and sang lead vocal on this song.
Mm-hmm.
Passed away about a month ago. And a little belated tribute to Lee Von.
Show enough.
This is... this song was the B-side to Up on Cripple Creek, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up on Cripple Creek.
Yeah. Although, I have to say this song's a little bit better. Should have been the A-side. Either way, 1969, from the album The Band. This is The Band. The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down.
Number 7.
We were hungry, just barely alive. By May the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well. The night they drove old Dixie down, and the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and the people were singing. They
We always did a half-assed version of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I knew how to play it. I don't know if anybody else did.
No.
But we did our best.
Yeah, it was fun anyway. Great song.
Yep.
Great band. Rest in peace, Lee Von Helm.
Lee Von.
Ryan Blake.
What's, I'm gonna leave on.
What's your number 6?
My number 6, this is the second piano player that I told you, like...
McCartney.
No. Like the intro... The guy, you know, just playing piano, jazz guy.
Oh, right.
This is the second installment of that in my list.
Okay.
This guy's name is Cyrus Chestnut.
You just made that up, didn't you?
And it's kind of funny because I was looking at the names of his albums, and he was known as the Nut Man. And he's got albums, The Nut Man Speaks.
How did he get that nickname?
The Nut Man Speaks, then The Nut Man Speaks Again.
Whoa.
And then his next album was called Nut.
Now, could this be any kind of nut? Is he a filbert? Is he
his name's Chestnut.
Oh, Chestnut. Duh. I'm sorry.
Hello.
If I said that to his face, he would...
He would have clocked you with his chestnut.
He'd teabag me.
Oh, my God, man.
Well, why do they call him the Nut Man? You know, I'm just assuming.
Chestnut.
Okay.
Anywho. This song, I was listening to K-Jazz, you know, the local Long Beach jazz and blues station.
Why would you want to do that?
And this song came on. And I'm always looking for piano players to play in the stride style, which is what my dad does, what my grandfather did.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite piano players of all time, Teddy Wilson, that played with the Benny Goodman Quartet, that I've played before on the show. I didn't pick any of his stuff for this one because I'd done it before.
Right.
But this guy, this song, awesome.
Yeah.
Him playing piano by himself. This is stride piano. This is called, it's a song of his. It's called Invention Number 4, Cyrus Chestnut. It's probably from mid-90s somewhere.
Really? That new? I don't know why I was thinking. With a name like that, it sounds very old-timey.
Well, he was born in 63, and all of his albums are from the 90s or 2000s.
Okay.
So,
let's hear it. This is Ryan Blake's Number 6. Check it out.
Number 6.
Thank you.
don't.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cyrus Chestnut.
The Nut.
The Nut Man.
The Nut Man. Is that anything like the Ass Man?
No.
Okay. You know, because, you know, Seinfeld.
No, I don't know.
You've never watched the show.
Of course I have. But what I remember is from Dave Letterman's show when he kept having on the guy, his name was Dick Ass Man.
Yeah.
And he was actually, it was a guy.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately.
But I think he actually pronounced, it was actually Richard Assman.
Assman, yeah, well.
But you try Dave to, called you him try Dick Assman.
You try to tell the entire world to call you by how you want to be called.
Assman.
It's not going to work. Good stuff. Well, we have a request. Just got in. And
like the, Mr. Azuipe.
IP freely. We have a request and doesn't need much of an introduction. This is one of the staples of
You have found it.
Wow. It's got a really cool piano part at the end. This is Faith No More. This is epic. And it's a classic.
This is epic. I guess you can have your opinion.
The song is called Epic. And
who's the jerk off that requested this song?
A little dude named Ira.
Little dude?
A little dude. Well, he's taller than me, but yeah. Either way.
He's your big brother, right?
No, he's younger.
Oh, he is? I always thought
he was
older.
He's bigger as far as height goes, but he's younger.
Yeah, I just...
He's my little bro.
Yeah, I just, for some reason, I always felt like he was more mature than you. I don't know what that's about.
You're way off. Anyway, this is Faith No More from 1989.
With their song, Pretty Good.
The song's called Epic for Ira.
Anyway, you will never understand it, cause it happens too fast, and it feels so good, it's like walking the glass. It's so cool, so hip, it's alright. It's so groovy, it's out of sight. You can touch it, smell it, taste it so sweet, but it makes no difference, cause it knocks you off your feet. Some more. You got the juice, share it so
Yeah. It's not bad.
No, it was a great piano part for the last 30 seconds of that song.
Hey, sometimes the wait is worth the wait.
What's something. It? What is it?
They had, they got a bunch of good stuff that features the piano.
Yeah, and the guy was in Bill and Ted, so what can you say?
Well, that guy, not the piano player.
No, but the bass, guitar player?
Yeah, Jim Martin.
Is it Kim Thayil?
No, that's Soundgarden.
Oh.
But that's okay. That's Faith No More. That's by request. And that's a song called Epic. We are doing piano songs today.
Thanks, Ira.
We're doing piano songs today. And this list would not be complete without Sir Elton John. And I think this might be my first time playing Elton John on the show.
Is it Levon?
It's not Levon. Jackass. And Jesus wants to go to Venus. No, this is Honky Cat.
Oh. Yeah. Get back,
Honky Cat. Living in the City ain't where it's at. It's from 1972, the album Honky Chateau. Elton John, born Reginald Kenneth Dwight, was pretty awesome back in the 70s. I don't know, he's kind of less awesome now. You know, he's still kicking around, still doing stuff. He's always in Vegas doing shows and whatnot.
He was just on Saturday Night Live not too long ago, and he was the host / musical guest, and he was hilarious.
I believe it. He's super talented.
Yeah, man.
He's a great. Funny guy.
So don't you even try to tell me that he's not great.
I'm not. I'm playing him. He's on my list.
You just said he's not that great anymore.
Well,
that he was. He
did
not
have
anymore.
He did have an album from 2003, I believe, Songs from the West Coast, which was actually really good.
Oh, see, now you're changing your tune, aren't you?
No, but I don't get it. I don't dig all the Lion King shit and all the, you know, stuff from the 80s.
Sad, Circle of Life.
Sad songs say so much. All that.
You know what?
Circle of Life. It's cheap.
It explains so much about you that you don't even understand the Circle of Life.
is that right? It's I don't understand the Circle of Life.
You don't. You don't understand why that's so great. It's Lion King, man.
I've seen it. So what?
Hakuna Matata.
You're the one who doesn't like
such a wonderful phrase.
You're the one who doesn't like Phil Collins.
Hakuna Matata. It ain't no passing craze.
Let's get back to Honky Cat.
It's a problem-free philosophy.
Honky Cat is a...
Problem-free.
Is the lead-off... Shut up.
Right.
Honky Cat is the lead-off track, his lead-off single from Honky Chateau. It employs a New Orleans funk sound reminiscent of the Meters and Dr. John. Mm. This was the first album that Elton recorded with his live band, which included Dee Murray on bass, and the two of them, Elton on piano, Dee Murray on bass, kind of do a back and forth thing with the rhythm of this song. It's really cool. And lyrics by what's his face, Bernie Taupin, and Elton on the piano, and it's just 4.5 minutes of just killer classic rock.
Honky.
It's funky. It's honky. It's Elton John. It's my number six.
Honky, honky.
Honky Cat.
Number six.
Honky, honky.
Time. getting back to the woods. But I quit those days and my redneck ways. And ooh, 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 oh, change is gonna do me
I remember I heard that song on classic rock radio, I don't know, about 10 years ago or something, and the DJ said something after it ended that I was like, yeah. She said, the only thing I don't like about that song is that eventually it ends.
Oh.
And I was like, right on.
That's very cute.
Anyway, that's Elton John, Honky Cat. Ryan Blake, you're up. What's your number five?